Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight, the last of our Wednesday services, we look at this question, why does the church confess creeds? And if you've been confessing them forever, you might think, what an odd question that is. You should probably know that some churches use creeds as a weekly part of their worship services, and some churches not only don't use them, but actually even oppose the use of creeds. In my life prior to Lutheranism, I was often in churches that would say something like this, creeds are the words of men. Their point was to make a distinction between the Bible, which is the word of God, and the creeds. They weren't saying they were bad men. They were just saying that a creed was written by a man, and if it was written by a man, you couldn't expect people to be tied to confessing that. They would often say something like this, and I say this for a good while. Renee and I are members of a Southern Baptist congregation, and that congregation would say, no creed but the Bible. You ever hear that phrase? Looking at a lot of people, a lot of people have been familiar with it. No creed but the Bible. So you see, again, they're making that distinction. Creeds from the church, written by, you know, men, not authoritative. Bible, word of God. And we can kind of see part of that. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible is uniquely inspired and inerrant. Unlike anything else, got it, right? The Bible is the word of God. But we don't necessarily have to put those in conflict, right? The question about a creed is, here's the content of the creed. Is the creed biblical, right? Is the creed biblical in what it says? Now, here's the other thing that I would occasionally hear, and this one almost makes me kind of nuts, but people will say, deeds, not creeds. Anybody ever hear that one? Deeds, not creeds. They're saying, you know, live the Christian life. It doesn't matter so much what you confess with your mouth as long as you're going out there and doing good works. The reason I say it makes me nuts is that's the classic false dichotomy. People are saying, is it A or is it B? They're not opposites. They're not mutually exclusive. We believe in doing good deeds. We believe in living out the faith. But so there's no reason to say I have deeds and not creeds. You can believe the creeds and live the life. So I just don't love those kinds of things. There's many things in life like that. Now, I want us to think about the Bible. This is my Bible that I carry with me a lot. Word of God, right? Inspired, inerrant word of God given by the Holy Spirit through prophets and apostles. We got that. We're Missouri Synod types. We're solid on that. Now, here's the fun thing. I want to ask some questions about the Bible. Not as criticisms, just fun questions to know. The first one you're going to get, and after that, it's going to get tougher. How many books are in the Bible? 66 books. Excellent. You did nice. Okay, are you ready? Here's a tougher question. How many chapters are in the Bible? It is over 1,000. So Navin is usually, you know, there to help everybody on their Bible trivia. And by the way, you can see me looking at my notes because I don't remember either. It's 1,189 chapters. Okay. Here's a tougher one. How many verses are in the Bible? Anybody know this? Me either. I looked it up, right? Everything's on the internet. So here's the answer. 31,102 verses. 31,000 verses in Holy Scripture. Now, I looked up this answer on the internet and they keyed it to the King James Version. You know, there's many different translations. King James, there's a lot of easy stats to find on it because it's, you know, been around forever. Okay, how many words in the King James Version of the Bible? 783,137 words. 783,137. I don't mean you to memorize that. You can find it yourself. Here's the reason I mention it. The first concept is this. A creed is a summation. Right? A creed is a summation. Who here has memorized all 783,000 words of Holy Scripture? I have not. Now, all of them are inspired. Word of God, Holy Spirit speaking through prophets and apostles, God's word to us in human language and by translators given to me in English even. So awesome, I'm thankful of it. But a creed is a summation to say the Bible says these many, many things, but what's the core? What do we say about God and what he's done, right? And so as I said earlier, the question isn't, is it the Bible versus the creeds? The question is, does your creed confess what the Bible confesses? And if the creed is biblical and it's theological content, then we could say, you can confess that. Now, I want us to notice the scripture lessons. I chose the scripture lessons on purpose this evening. The first one, guess what? It's an Old Testament creed. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses talking to Israel, all the things that God has done to deliver them. And he says, these are the commands, the decrees, and the laws that the Lord or Yahweh, your God, has directed me to teach you and for you to teach to your children and to your grandchildren. And he says a lot of things about all of the Old Testament covenant, but he actually, Deuteronomy 6:4, look this up later, Deuteronomy 6:4 is an Old Testament creed. Happy for them, it's one sentence long. Anybody know what it's called? The Shema. Shema is the Hebrew word hear. Not H-E-R-E, but H-E-A-R. Hear. Here's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. You are supposed to say that as a faithful Jew when you wake up in the morning and before you go to bed at night. Every single day. Every single day. Now, the Bible has thousands of chapters, but in Israel they said, say Deuteronomy 6:4 twice a day, every day. That's a creed, isn't it? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you've heard me say, frankly, at many funerals, but even in other services, 1 Corinthians 15 is the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. The entire chapter is about the resurrection of Jesus and what it means, whether it's true or not. But I want us to notice, 3-8, take your bulletin home and look these passages up. Notice how creedal it is. The whole chapter is going to be about the resurrection of Jesus, but beginning at verse 3, he says, for what I received, you hear, what I received, I passed on to you. As of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Isn't that funny? This is a Bible verse that says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is the Bible citing the Bible. According to the scriptures, Old Testament prophets have said that the Messiah will come and die for us. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, to the 12, to the 500, and to the apostles, and to James, and to me. That's creedal. It's content about this is who Jesus is and what he did, and it fulfills what was said in the scriptures. Now, Philippians chapter 2, if you look that up in a Bible, you'll see it written out on the page like poetry. And the reason is a lot of old commentators say that Philippians chapter 2 is a hymn, like that the church sang this. But I always read it thinking, it's sort of a hymn. It's sort of a creed. It's sort of a foundational thing, again, to say, thousands of verses, but here's the central thing. Have the same attitude as Jesus, who being God did not consider equality with God something to use to his advantage. He made himself nothing by taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name. Those are doctrinal formulations, right? Now, why do I mention that they're doctrinal formulations? First big concept tonight, a creed is a what? A summation. A creed is a summation. That's our first point. Here's our second point. A creed has content. A creed, please hear me, has content. Something is believed. Now, I want to mention a movie about Jesus. It was terrible. And I can't remember the name of this particular movie, and I tried to look on the internet to find it. There's so many terrible Jesus movies. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch any, but I never like a Jesus movie if Jesus looks like a hippie and is always staring into the distance. Yuck, right? The real Jesus was kind of powerful and formidable. His enemies hated him. The Jesus in the movies is a kook. But I don't remember the movie, but I do remember the scene. And Jesus says to the disciples, you have to have faith. Oh, fair enough. But the disciples say, what do you mean? And I'm not making this up. In the movie, Jesus says, you have to have faith in faith. That is rubbish. That is nonsense. The Christian faith is not faith in my faith. You see, that's turning in on yourself. To believe that I have faith. No. The Christian faith says, I have faith, but in what? I have faith in the Christ who became man, who died for my sins, who rose again. You see what I'm saying? So when I say content, we don't have faith in faith. We don't say, as long as you have faith, that's very modern. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you have faith. That's not Bible at all. That's not the Bible. The Bible says we believe in Christ who died for our sins according to the scriptures. You see what I'm saying? So the question becomes, what's the content of what's confessed? So I want you to take out your hymnal and go to the very, very last inside page of the, literally, of the binding. Did you guys know this was here? And some of you do. Some of you guys know your hymnals pretty well, which is every pastor's thing they love to hear. Anyway, back. If you don't know, now you know. Every once in a while, you'll see a bulletin saying we're going to confess the Apostles' Creed, and for pagination reasons, it's not printed. There it is. Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, Lord's Prayer. They're always in here. There's one other creed, Athanasian Creed, your favorite. And that's not printed here because it's printed inside the book at longer length. But I want us to notice, so we know the Bible, 1,100 chapters, 31,000 verses, 783,000 words, and the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Is that correct? Right? And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Correct? That's biblical truth. That's biblical truth. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now here's what I want you to know about it. The Apostles' Creed dates back to the second century. It has its origins even in the first, but it came into that shape. You'll find, if you go back long enough, you'll find little tweaks in the phrases, but if you read them, you'll see a lot of similarities. It becomes this. It was called the Old Roman Creed. Anybody ever hear that phrase? It's called the Old Roman Creed because it was written, guess where? Rome, and it was written in connection with baptism. If an infant was brought by their parents, we talked about infant baptism several weeks ago, that was one thing, but if an adult came to this place, the pastor would say, do you believe in God? And the person to be baptized would say, yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You see how it works? And the pastor would say, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived, etc. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, etc. Here's a baptismal creed. That's why it says, I, Nicene Creed. In our hymnal, they both say, I. The old versions of the text, Nicene Creed says, we, that's a community thing. I believe because of the baptism, you're baptized as an individual. Old Rome, so here's, you're not going to memorize everything I say, but here's what I'd love you to remember about this creed. Old Roman Creed, written in the second century for baptisms. Now, the Nicene Creed, why is it longer? Because the heresies got more complicated. People started to say, well, Jesus isn't really God. He was made by God. He's great and high and elevated, but he's not God. And so the Nicene Creed says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Anybody unclear? That's the Christian confession of Jesus to say, Arius, you're wrong. Right? Okay. Nicene Creed adopted at two different councils, both in the 4th century. Apostles' Creed, 2nd century. Nicene Creed, 4th century. Athanasian Creed, we don't know exactly when, but 5th or 6th century. So these aren't new or innovative. The church has been saying these for more than 1,000, almost 1,900 years, the oldest one. It's the church saying, here's what we believe. Now, one other thing I'll throw out there, and I forgot to say this at noon, so I'll say it here. As Lutheran Christians, when we were compiling our doctrines in the Book of Concord and Luther's Small Catechism, Large Catechism, Augsburg Confession, all that kind of stuff, what's the first thing in the Book of Concord? The three creeds. Why are the creeds in there? To say we're not confessing anything new, we're confessing what the church has always said, right? And here's what else we understand it to mean. Now, I'll close with this. You're saved by faith, right? You're saved by grace, right? You're saved by grace, but you're saved by the faith that is in your heart. And here's what creed means. The English word creed comes from the Latin word credo. And credo is very simple. It just means I believe. I believe. We've always said that, right? You're saved by faith. How are you saved? By believing. By believing what? Now, the content of the creed. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, what Christ has done for us. But I believe. Not my dad, not my grandfather. My dad believes, but I'm not saved by his faith. I'm saved by my faith. Not my grandparents, not my great-grandparents. Right? Don't tell me how long your family was a member of the church. Credo is I believe. And that's why we confess the creeds. Amen. We stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And